Lord, we thank you that you are more worthy than all the praise we could ever give you. And Lord, we want to live for your praise and your glory. So speak to our hearts from your heart this morning. Lord, let your word bring impartation this morning. Impartation of your life, of your wisdom. So that we can walk in the way that you set before us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated. You know, when we come in here to praise the Lord, you never have to get warmed up. It's very simple. You just make a decision before we start. I'm about to give God my very best. If you give him any less than that, don't bother. Go and find something else to do with your life. Because God is worthy of more than your best. The very least you can do is to give him your best. And just remember that in heaven they praise God with loud voices. Right, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. You're going to hear what a wonderfully privileged people you are this morning. Just turn to those either side of you and say, you are greatly privileged. Now, of course, you're privileged to be at Rafi, but I'm going to speak about something even more important than that. Chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all, say all. In the name, say name.
Name.
Of Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, this is the verse we're going to focus on, but you notice the first word of that verse is am, which means it's connected to what has gone before. So let's go back to the beginning of the chapter and we'll just read through what has gone before and we'll see why Paul comes to this conclusion. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Don't get so excited now, it's Tuesday. Calm down. Okay, since then you have been raised with Christ.
Yes.
Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now, say now,
now,
now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must, say must, rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm tempted to read the next verse, but it's not our subject this morning. Today my wife is celebrating 42 years of submission to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm celebrating 42 years of loving her, because verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives. So I've left over the cup of tea in bed. But I've got a day off shirt on. This is a statement of intent, right? So don't anybody try to catch me afterwards and say, oh, just before you go, because I should be gone. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is such a wonderful privilege God has given. Remember, the name in Scripture denotes the person. It's not just a title. It denotes the person. So Paul is saying, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, if there's anything that you can't do in his person, don't do it. Because the word here says all. Do it all. Whatever you do, whatever you say, do it all in the person of the Lord Jesus. Now that's a wonderful privilege, because it means that God has called you to do, wherever you are, what Jesus would do if he was in your place. And of course the truth is that he is in your place, because he is in you. And if he is in you, then Paul is saying, whatever you do, do it in him. In his name. Say what he would say. Do what he would do. Think what he would think. Pray what he would pray. Say what he would say. Because he lives within you so that, there's always a so that, isn't there? So that you can do all in his name. When Jesus returned to be with the Father, he left his church. He left his body here on earth so that his body could continue to do in his name all the things that he was doing. Now, this is not just healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out demons, because the word says all. And when you go back and look at the context, Paul starts this chapter, of course it wasn't originally in chapters, but he starts this section of the epistle by reminding the Colossians of their position in Christ and what has happened. They have died. They have died to living for themselves. They have died to doing things in their own strength. They've died to doing what they would like to do in the flesh. They've died to doing things without God. Therefore, they've died to doing anything that in God's eyes is immoral, unclean, unholy, sinful. They've died to that. Now, I thought about bringing a slab of meat in. Or getting Ian to give me a slab of meat. Just imagine I'm holding up a nice, big, juicy steak like you get every day in college diet. It has actually been known. It has been known for students to be a mistake. Mind you, we threw the kangaroo bones away after this. But if I was holding up this piece of steak, I wouldn't be saying to the steak, "Die, because I want to eat you. Die, die!" If I could hold it up, I presume it would be dead. And Paul doesn't say you're trying to kill yourself off. Your old life is as dead as that piece of steak. But you see, what Paul says when he's writing to the Romans is you have to reckon yourself as dead. That means you have to count upon it. Because if you don't keep remembering that you have died, you might live as if you haven't. And I told you that your water baptism was your funeral service, where that old life, that old bit of steak, that was dead, buried, finished with. And you come out of the water signifying that you have now put on the new life of Christ. So you see, Paul then spells that out afresh for the Colossians. Because you have died, put to death whatever belongs to the old nature. Because if it's dead, it does not have to have any control and influence over your life. Sometimes people say to me, "Oh, my flesh is dead." Oh, if only that was true. The bad news is I'm afraid your flesh will be with you to the day you go to glory. The secret is not to live according to the flesh, but reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So actually, you're not really like a piece of steak. But you have to reckon that old life as dead as that piece of steak. That is not going to have any power or controlling influence over my life whatsoever. I'm not going to feed the flesh at all. Now, let me tell you a great secret. Paul lists here a whole lot of different sins of the flesh. Let's just look at them very quickly. Sexual immorality. Now, as you go through, you see, you might do a mental checklist and say, "Yeah, I'm all right on that one. I'll give myself a tick there. I'm not involved in any sexual immorality." Impurity. I've got a tick on my good days, but I have bad days. So that one's a bit iffy. Lust. Only when I'm under pressure. So I'll give myself 2/3 of a tick. That one. Evil desires. Oh no, I would do those immediately.
Greed, which is idolatry, only when there's chips. See, how many marks have you got so far? Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. This is the bad news. It's all right, the good news is coming, but just listen to the bad news first. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now that you're a rocker, you wouldn't dream of walking in any of those things. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, never. I wouldn't get angry, even with my roommate. Why she turns the light on at that time of the morning, I cannot imagine. Rage? Oh no, tick. Malice? Tick. Slander? What's slander? Speaking against something behind their back. Question. Filthy language? Oh, never. Tick. Lost. Just wondering if you're still listening. Do not lie to each other. Oh, no, really, I did have a good excuse for missing kitchen duty. Since you have taken off the old life with its practices and have put on the new life which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its creator. This new life is being made by Jesus. So all those other things just don't belong, do they? So if I fight against those things, I'm likely to lose. The thing that people don't understand is this. All those things are things of the flesh. You've only got to be guilty of one to keep your flesh alive. It's not just that one thing. You keep the whole of the flesh alive instead of reckoning it dead. Hello? Why? Because all those things, you see, are the old self, which has been crucified with Christ, which has been put to death in Christ. Oh, Pastor John, this is too much. This is going too far. This is too high for me. No, this is the high calling. And in Ephesians, Paul says, live up to your high calling. Why should it be so important? Because God is calling multitudes of people out there, and the only ones who are going to reach them are those who are living up to their high calling. Mm-hmm. Well, they may not do it perfectly, but you understand what I'm saying. Okay, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, say, I'm chosen, I'm holy, I'm loved. So you've got it all going for you, haven't you? Okay. Clothe yourselves. Now, I assume that by this stage of your life, you have learned how to get dressed. I mean, you didn't get someone else to dress you this morning. This is too deep for you. But so you can't expect anybody else to clothe you with these things. You have to clothe yourself. Now, when you clothe yourself, you have to put things on. You know, when you stand by the side of your bed and there's all your clothes on the chair or wherever they are, the floor or wherever you... on the hangers, in the water. I mean, wherever they are not going to get on your body unless you put them on. They will not get there automatically. So Paul is saying these things are not going to automatically happen in your life. Just because you are in Christ and His Spirit is in you, these are things you have to deliberately put on. Just as there are things you have to deliberately put off and reckon yourself dead, buried, finished to those negative things, these are the things that you put on. So you put on compassion. How can you put on compassion? I mean, compassion is what you feel in your heart. Well, if you ever feel that you're lacking in the right heart attitude towards others, it's probably because you haven't put compassion. You haven't said, Lord, just fill my heart today with your compassion. Lord, I want to exhibit the kindness of your Holy Spirit today. Lord, thank you that today I can walk in humility before you and before others. Thank you, Lord, that you had a gentle heart. Thank you that you've given me a heart after your own heart. Thank you that you will manifest your gentleness through me today. Thank you, Lord, that patience is a virtue, is a fruit of your Holy Spirit. And thank you that I can exhibit that patience. I'm putting on these verses. Are you there? Bear with each other. Thank you, Lord, you give me the grace today not to react in a negative way no matter what happens around me. It's an attitude. Thank you, Lord, that just as you have been so merciful to me, so today I can be merciful and forgive immediately as soon as I am aware of any wrong that is directed towards me. Now you dare not withhold your forgiveness or be unmerciful. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues put on love. Lord, thank you that today I abide in your love. I clothe myself with your love. Thank you that today your love is going to pour out of my heart as rivers of living water. You see, there's something you have to do here. You have to put these things on. Then, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. This is what you're learning here, how to live in peace with all those different people that are around you. And be thankful in all circumstances. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Today, Lord, in whatever I hear in the teaching, let your word dwell in me rich. I don't want notes in a book. I want your word written on my heart. You can have the notes in the book as well, but I mean, you know, you want God to be writing his word on your heart. As you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now, this is just the context of what I want to say. So far, that's been the introduction. Now we've got this key verse. I believe this is one of the key verses in the New Testament. It certainly has been in my life, and it has been in the history of kingdom faith. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the person of Jesus. Now, I'm a very simple guy, as you probably understood by now. And I always reduce everything to its simplest terms, so that whoever I'm speaking or preaching to, everybody will be able to understand. But Jesus was like that. I mean, Jesus must have had the greatest intellect that there has ever been in a human being. But if you look at his teaching, he put it so simply. Now, he didn't talk down to people, but he reduced everything to very simple terms. I was very blessed in that when I was a young pastor, the first church where I served as a curator, an associate pastor, there were three church schools in the parish. And so I was able to have plenty of experience, because if there had been church schools, you could go in and teach the faith. So I had plenty of experience of having to reduce profound truth to their simplest form. You see, if you're not careful, you can be too clever for your own good and certainly for other people's good. There are some preachers that want to impress other preachers by appearing intellectual. Well, we're not here to please other preachers. We're here, or wherever we are sent, we are sent in order to communicate the truth. And so, you know, it's just been my custom to say, okay, Lord, in its simplest terms, what does this mean? I don't even have to ask him that now. He just explains things to me in their simplest terms. Because when you've got that kind of a grasp on the truth, it's simple to do. That doesn't mean it's always easy, but it's simple. You know what it is you've got to do. There's no great mystery about it. There's no great, should I do this or should I do that? I mean, and you see, this verse, put in its simplest terms, means, well, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm saying, I'm in the person of Jesus. I'm therefore got this wonderful privilege of representing him. Now, you see, I don't represent him when I preach. I represent him 24/7. Because I have to do everything in his name. Even a conversation with someone else must be honoring to the Lord, even if I'm not talking about the Lord. That I'm not going to be doing things or saying things that I have put off, because they belong to the flesh, they belong to the self-life, and not to the new life that I have in Christ. Now, this is what we all aspire to do everything in the name of Jesus. Will we succeed in that? Well, I haven't. And I've never met anybody who has. But I've learned this, that if you don't aspire to do it, you won't get anywhere near it.
That's right.
Whereas when this is your goal, this is your aim, you do get better at it, and you do get nearer your objective. As God continues to work out his purpose in your life. Because there's a determination in you to do that which is going to honor and please the Lord. Have I made mistakes? Of course, many of them. Have I done things that haven't glorified the Lord? Yes, and I'm ashamed that I ever did them. But I have his mercy, I have his forgiveness, I know his grace, so I don't have to dwell on those things. Because at the other end, when you come out of anything like that, you just have a greater determination to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you see, if we went through the checklist, you thought you weren't getting on too well. I can't say that's all right, because it isn't. But don't be discouraged. Because we're all on the same path, you know, we're all going the same way. Now, all these things that Paul is addressing in this chapter are to do with character. There are two things that the New Testament is concerned about, and both are works of the Holy Spirit. One is charisma, and the other is character. Now, charisma is the gifting of the Holy Spirit in a whole variety of ways. But we think of the charisma as those ways in which the Holy Spirit works supernaturally through us to enable us to do things that we wouldn't be able to do. Like, you can have a charisma, an anointing to preach, or a charisma to heal the sick. All the gifts, or the things, or the charismata of the Holy Spirit are aspects of the charisma that God has given us. We can do things through the Spirit that we wouldn't otherwise be able to do. And that's the aspect of the Holy Spirit that most Christians like to focus on. And they know, therefore, that they have to do this, fulfill this word that God has been speaking to us these last weeks. We must depend upon the Holy Spirit so that we can do the charismata, so that we can be charismatic, so that we can demonstrate charisma to everybody. We are gifted people. Amen.
Amen.
But you see, everything that Paul is talking about here relates not to those charismatic manifestations, but to character. And you see, Paul says when he's writing to the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, even self-control. Control of that old self, reckoning it dead and living the new life, putting on the new life. Now, all those things are character. God wants you to have a loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, gentle, self-controlling character, faithful character. Now, you see, just as you have to depend upon the Holy Spirit if you want to heal the sick, or depend upon the Holy Spirit if you're going to be anointed to preach God's word, or you depend upon the Holy Spirit when you're witnessing so that your witness will have an effect and you will be able to reap a harvest, you know you have to depend. But you see, equally we have to depend upon the Holy Spirit to reproduce the character of Jesus. Because that character is in you. Now, you see, Paul learned this great truth, and you see it all the way through his writings, especially in Romans, where he sort of explains all this. What he's saying is this: the Holy Spirit will not reform your character. The Holy Spirit will not change your flesh.
Amen.
What he does is to put his character in you.
Yes.
So, you see, can you think impure thoughts, lustful thoughts? Of course you can. But that's only you. It's not Christ in you. So soon as thoughts come like that, you put death to that and you begin to praise God that the Lord makes that girl so beautiful or that man so handsome.
I'm putting it in its simplest terms.
See, you have Christ in you. The secret is this, Christ in you. The secret isn't you. The secret isn't you being changed. The secret is Christ in you. Now, what happens is you get transformed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. Why? How does that happen? Because He changes the nature of your fleshly character? No! But because you get used to more and more denying yourself and letting His life be expressed through you. That changes the kind of person you are. You become more and more like Him in the way you act and react. In other words, Jesus gets more and more of a look in. Are you breathing? Now, what we fail to understand is that character and charisma interrelate. What do you see in Jesus? You understand what I mean by charisma? That anointing that enables you to do things supernaturally. Let's put it that way, just for now. You see perfect charisma. Why? Because He had perfect character. Amen? Now, if you want more charisma in your life, be concerned about character. Now, the difficult thing about this is this. The charisma can work without the character. For a while. Which is why, you know, sometimes you hear about a man of God falling into sin and all kinds of ungodliness. And people are amazed, how could God use such a man? Because people have been coming to the Lord, they've been blessed, they've been healed, while this man has been in some kind of sinful activity. I can't understand that. Well, the point is this, God never takes the charisma away. He never takes the charisma away. He never takes what He has gifted you in the Spirit. He never takes that away. Now, you might not flow in it, but He doesn't take it away. Now, if the character isn't right, God will address that. Here's this guy doing all wonderful, fruitful ministry. He will address that. He will say, repent. Turn from that sin. If he does, he'll get back on track. If he doesn't, God will give him time for repentance. But if he doesn't, God will expose the flaws in the character. And then nobody is interested in his charisma. Why does God do that? To punish him? No, but because God is concerned about him, that it doesn't matter how much he's using him, he is in serious peril spiritually. Because of what is going on in his life. So, there are many, many, many people that have been deceived into thinking. I mean, I've heard people actually, they've actually said to me, well, yes, I know there's this area of my life where things aren't right. But if God was really concerned about it, He wouldn't use me in the way He does. Watch out. Because that's the kind of deceptive thinking that is going to land him in a load of trouble. Now, never view anybody with judgment. Remember, all judgment belongs to the Lord. You see, look to yourself. Because I've never met a Christian that hasn't gone through a time of challenge. The kind of challenge will be different in different people. I've never met a Christian who has not in some way succumbed to temptation. But most of them get back on track and never need their sin to be exposed. Because our God is a merciful God. But get right away from this thinking that everything must be all right, really, otherwise God wouldn't use me the way He does. That is foolishness. You see, even where you are now, it's not just about big, well-known platform ministries. You can say, well, God is blessing me and God is doing this, and you know there's an area of disobedience, there's an area of sin, there's an area of wrong thinking, there's a wrong attitude, there's unforgiveness, and you think, well, it doesn't matter, God's blessing me, and it does matter. Because those things that are wrong, you cannot do in the name of the Lord Jesus. They do not glorify. Are we getting something from this?
Yeah.
You see, what would happen if on the day of judgment you come before the Lord thinking, oh, this is going to be good because of all the great things God has done through me, and then Jesus just looks at you and you suddenly see what He has always seen about your character. Some of you probably have not yet had encounters with God where that happens to you. God shows you what He sees about you. Not just the sins you're conscious of, but what He sees. I mean, that's a totally disarming thing, let me tell you. It's always followed immediately by a tremendous revelation of God's mercy. That He's known about these things all along, but still He loves you, still you're accepted in Christ, still you're anointed. He doesn't remove the anointing, He doesn't boom, 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 boom. Now, you read the New Testament, you read all the epistles, and there's more about character than charisma. Much more about character than charisma. I mean, a whole lot more about character than charisma. Why is that? Because Paul and John and the others, they knew, get the character right and the charisma will flow. Now, God is talking to us at present about the significance of prayer. I mean, we all know that, but you know the significance of prayer in this season. And He's talking to us about the need to pray with authority and to pray in the name of Jesus. He is talking to us about decreeing in His name what shall be. He's talking to us about preventing things in this nation that God does not want. He's talking to us about loosing, releasing those things that He does want. And just as the powers of opposition to the gospel are becoming more and more vocal, so it's becoming more and more important for God to raise up a people that are decreeing in His name what He wants, His will, His purpose over this nation. over our lives, over the church, over this district, and so on. Now, whether we like it or not, the effectiveness of our declarations is going to be influenced by our character. We would like to think that isn't true, that what happens in terms of character doesn't matter. What happens in terms of love and unity and peace and forgiveness and all that. We would like to think, well, that doesn't matter. God has given us a word. We just got to get up on our feet. We've got to shout. We've got to make a lot of noise. We've got to decree with real affirmation. We've got to send the devil packing. We've got to speak into being that which God wants. That's what we're going to do. But do you know the effectiveness with which we do that can be undermined? So it is just so much hot air. You see, Jesus was so effective in whatever he decreed because his character was in line with the Father's character. Now, this doesn't mean that God wants us to be looking in and thinking, oh, my character is so terrible, my declaration will be useless. No. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. But listen, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus, not simply when we're making declarations, not simply when we're decreeing, not simply when we're praying. We've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. We've got to keep before us, I am living to glorify the name of Jesus in my life, so that when I use his name, I'm going to be effective. If I glorify his name in the way that I seek to live, then I can use his name. I can be effective in the use of his name. Are we getting it? So you see, Paul is totally uncompromising. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Not just when you're standing up and saying, in the name of Jesus I decree, in the name of Jesus we declare, in the name of Jesus we speak this over the nation. But he says, no, all the time, whatever you do, whatever you say, let it be in the name of Jesus. Then when you stand up to make a declaration, then when you decree something, the powers of darkness better watch out, because one of God's holy children is standing on his feet. One of God's glorified children is declaring his will, his plan, his purposes, and every demon will flee and every power of the enemy will be broken, because he has no ground on which to stand in your life. He has no cause to resist you. One of the things God has been impressing upon me these last weeks is how powerful just one person decreeing something in the name of Jesus can be. Can be. Not always is, but can be. I mean, the Lord's been saying to me, Colin, you don't understand how great the authority is that I've given you. I've been seeking to move in the authority of God for as many years as I can remember. And yet he's still saying to me, you have a far greater authority than you realize. You just do not yet appreciate what you can accomplish through the authority I've given you. But then he says, and how much more is this true of all of you corporately? If you all realize how much authority you can exercise personally, just imagine what you can do together as my body corporately. But what is necessary corporately? That you forgive one another, that you don't take offense, that you're at peace with one another, that there's the love that binds everything together in unity. That's what he talked about, isn't it? We've just been through it, yes? Father, may they be one, so that the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, the times are urgent. The times are urgent. They are urgent. Every time I turn that television on, it's like tuning in to Station Islam. I mean, they're getting so much exposure. Every day, program after program. I mean, we've got to not just rise up to proclaim the truth, but we've got to stop this nonsense. You know the saying that all publicity is good publicity. They're getting so much publicity. And you have the statement by the BBC that they admitted yesterday that they are anti-Christian. And this is our public broadcasting corporation. And now they're looking into, you know, that time, sort of redressing the balance. But they're anti-Christian because there are a lot of key people in the broadcasting industry are part of the gay community. Right. And they know where born-again Christians stand. Right. They're not against the church, but they're against Christianity. Right. They're anti-Christian, not anti-church, anti-Christian. Right. And you probably don't see it, but I mean, I've seen a few programs yesterday. It was on last night, and I saw a few minutes of it. But, you know, they put the most vocal, eloquent people up to speak for Islam, and they put bumblers up to speak on the other side. Now that's the way the media can manipulate things. We're going to stop it. We're not going to allow our nation to be deceived like this. I believe we've got to focus on the media at present. The media is more important, is more powerful in this country than the government. Islam would love to control the media. It's manipulating the media at present, which is the next best thing. I'm sure it won't be long before some rich sheikhs here, there and everywhere try to buy newspapers and channels on the television and all the rest of it. Well, we've just got to come and stand up and say, we're not having that. We're not going to permit any such thing. There was a woman on this program who stood up and said, this is a Christian country with Christian values. She almost got booed and told her to sit down. This was meant to be a fair debate between the two sides. Well, I'll tell you this, in every village and in every town in this country there is a church building, but there isn't a mosque. So historically we know where we are. And listen, we're not giving the ground away. So what has character got to do with this? Well, we want to be effective in what we decree. We don't want there to be any grounds for the enemy to be able to resist what we're saying. Because we're not simply using the name, but we really are speaking and declaring things in the name of Jesus. I can tell you from experience that the more of the holiness of God is manifested among his people, the more effective they are in practical ministry. The more holiness, the greater charisma. So, if as any of these other things, the word of the Lord, because I'm a simple guy, I can put it in very simple terms. Cut it out! Stop it! In its tracks, like now! And say, oh, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've been like this all my years, and it's all about my deprived childhood, and, oh, you know, I feel so oppressed, and, oh, it's all so difficult. Well, of course it is if you go on like that. What do you expect? But according to my Bible, you're a new creation. And nobody who is a new creation can feel sorry for himself or herself. Oh, well, I need ministry. No, you don't. You need to kick up the spiritual backside. Come on. Yes. You are a new creation. Yes. Stop yes. listening to the lies. Come on. You have Christ in you. Yes. If you listen to the lies, how can you be effective in overcoming the liar? Oh, but Pastor, I have these wrong thoughts. Of course you do. You nutter. But you've got Christ in you. Yes. Never mind the wrong thoughts. Start thinking his thoughts. I mean, just get your focus realigned. You see, it's very, very, it's very, very simple. Can I just finish a very simple illustration? Helps a simple guy like me. Is that all right? Over here, you've got the negative, and over here, you've got the positive. Right? The positive is the truth. The negative is that which is not true. Is that all right? Okay. Now, you can choose to walk in the positive, or you can choose to walk in the negative. You will wear yourself out trying to go from one side to the other. So it's better to stay over this side. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, love is positive. All these characteristics of the Spirit are positive. All those sins are negative. Are you negative or positive? Well, God has created you positive because you're a new creation. And the new creation is positive from the inside because the Christ in you is positive. The Holy Spirit is positive. All the charisma is positive. All the characteristics of the Spirit are positive. Where does all the negativity come from? You. But the answer is Christ in you. Now, the one over here can decree to all he likes, and the devil will go, ah, ha, 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 ha. Whereas if you're standing over here and you decree, the devil goes, ah!
Yes, yes, yes. Come on, come on.
Have I put it simply enough? Because I can understand it, and if I can understand it, usually everybody can understand it. And if you want me to put it more intellectually, it's because in the original Greek, it says, ah! And it took me 3 years of learning Greek to realize that. Now listen, when Dr. James next lectures you and he says, the Greek says, you don't all go, ah! Because you do need to know what the Greek says. That's why I've just told you. That the Greek for ah is ah! So now you're more of a Greek scholar than you were at the beginning of the month. Come on, let's all stand. Hallelujah! Come on! Come on! Which side are you standing on? Which side are you standing on? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The secret is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Parata parazata parasito risato bakarasito ba. Barata parazato bakarasito risato ba. Barata parazato bakarasito risato ba. Yes, 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 yes. Parati parazata bakarasito risato ba. Barata barazata bakarazito risato bakarazito ba. Barata barazato bakarazito risato ba. Barata barazato bakarazito risato bakarazito risandama. Barata barazato bakarazito risato bakarazito ba. Barata barazato bakarazito risato bakarazito ba. Barata parazato bakarazito risato bakarazito ba. Barata parazato bakarazato bakarabazito ba. Barata parazato bakarazito risato ba. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Barata parazato bakarazito risato ba. Parata parazato bakarazito risato ba. Okay, let's just be still for a moment. Just keep your eyes closed, your focus on the Lord. Now, if there's any of the negative, it's not just a question of saying, oh God, you know, forgive me, there's so much of the flesh. Says, of course there is. But you're going to deny it now. You're going to count yourself dead and alive to God in Christ Jesus. But you might need to say, Lord, forgive me. But I keep looking at myself, being concerned about myself, getting all wrapped up in myself, instead of reckoning myself dead and alive to God in Christ. Forgive me, Lord, when I've actually given the flesh some impetus because I haven't repented or I've gone on doing something negative. You might need to say, Lord, forgive me that I've held on to this resentment, this hurt. You might need to say, Lord, forgive me for all the self-pity that still exists in my thinking. I realize I've got nothing that I need to be full of self-pity about. You have made me rich. You have put the positive life of your own Son within me. And I am full of the Holy Spirit. Come on, Jesus. Just thank the Lord for His mercy.
Now thank him for the charisma that he's given you. You are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the charismata, all the things of the Spirit, all the ways in which the Spirit has been manifested through your life, the things that you have done in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Just thank him. These are all the works of grace. All the charismatic is really the work of God's grace, of his charis in your life. Hallelujah. Just thank him for all the ways that he's worked through you. Now, thank him that he's not only given you the charisma, he's given you. It is already in you. He has given you the character of Jesus. He has put the character of the Holy Spirit within you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. To name just 9 characteristics. Thank him. I have the character of Jesus. I have the charisma of the Holy Spirit. I can do everything in word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God has equipped me with character and charisma. Barata parazato bukarasita risato bukarasita. Barata parazato bukarasita risato. Now thank the Lord that according to the word that we read this morning, you are chosen, you are holy, and you are dearly loved. Come on, thank him. Oh Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you've chosen me. You haven't chosen me for the negative, you've chosen me for the positive. Thank you, Lord, that I am a holy child of God. I am a saint. I am sanctified in Christ Jesus. I am dearly loved. I'm not on the negative side where people are living in unholiness and unrighteousness and doubting and questioning whether they're loved. You put me on the positive side, Lord. I'm standing on the positive side this morning. Hallelujah. I know where I belong. And Lord, I thank you that the blood of Jesus stands between my new life and my old life. Now we're going to spend the last few minutes this morning praying about the media. We're going to do some decreeing. I'm fed up with turning my television on and seeing more and more about Islam. I'm overexposed to that stuff, and I'm going to refuse. I mean, you can turn it off, but that's not the point. There's other people that are watching it, other people that are listening to it on the radio, other people picking up their newspapers, and it's something about Islam on nearly every flipping page. So come on now. It's time to put a stop to this. The airwaves in this nation are not the opportunity to promote Islam or any other deception. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we decree that Islam will no longer have the exposure that it has had in recent months. We decree right now that all deception will be exposed for what it is. That the airwaves of this nation will be used to promote the truth. We speak that into being. We release a fresh revelation of truth over this nation. We take authority now and we decree that those that are living in ungodliness, in unrighteousness, that are in key positions in the media, they shall be pulled down. They shall be removed. They shall be removed from office. They shall be exposed for what they are. That they call others bigots when they themselves are the bigots. And we speak now that Christian people, faithful people, God-fearing people will come into key positions in the media, in television, in radio, in the press. Come on, let's praise Jesus. And we decree now in the name of Jesus that the eyes of government ministers shall be opened. The ears of every member of parliament shall be opened to the truth. That they will see clearly the strategy of the Islamists and of other areas of our society where there is deception. That ungodly pressure groups shall not be able to have influence. Now we thank you, Lord, that you are overseeing everything and that you are creating a wonderful atmosphere, a wonderful situation for there to be a new proclamation of the truth of your word so that people will not be confronted with churchianity but really with the Christian faith, with the Christian life. Thank you that you're raising up a holy people in these days. Thank you that you need a holy people at this time. A people of power, a people of authority, a people of integrity, a people of righteousness. And we give you glory, we give you honor and praise. Thank you, Lord, you're raising up a people of character and a people of charisma. And Lord, while we pray for this nation, we pray for every other nation that's represented here this morning. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Master. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just turn to all those around you and say, you have the character of Jesus in you. Then turn to them and say, you've got the charisma of the Holy Spirit within you. Then turn to them again and say, I'm going to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! give him glory.